Take the Word of God this evening, turn with me to Galatians. As we continue in the theme of the New Testament church, we'll be preaching about the church and in the weeks to come. We talked about the first century church in Acts and how that the doctrine of the first century church, we talked about that last week. We talked about Christ gave us the body of doctrine, the Word of God that we use. This morning I talked about corrupting influences are always at work. And all this, again, is in the theme of the New Testament church. So remember, this is one big theme here as we're just trying to take it a little piece at a time and what kind of church should churches be today. If you were to start a new church, what should we be? How do we function and all that kind of thing? So we've been going through that today. And we talked about the gospel. We talked about corrupting influences are always at work. We needed to pray that God helps us to discern corrupting influences in our society today that affect the local body of believers. So we talked about that in doctrine. We were in Acts chapter 2 this morning. Well, when we'll be in Galatians, I want to talk about another theme as you continue in this. That as we continue following Christ, as we stick to the doctrine of the Bible, we stick to the Bible, sometimes that causes, this third point, contention to arise, even among brethren. Contention arises even among brethren. So we're taking different pieces. And in Galatians here, we had some contention. It's painful, but it happens. And there's two prominent figures in Galatians chapter 2, Peter and Paul, and there was contention here with them. Look with me in chapter 2. I'll start around in verse 8. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So what you have here is they separated, James, John, and Peter to go and preach to the Jews, and then Paul and Barnabas to the heathen or to the Gentiles. That would be us, right? The heathen. So that was their ministry. Verse 10 says, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which also I was forward to do or zealous to do. And verse 11 tells us when we have a problem arises here in the church. He says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation, or their hypocrisy, if you would. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by works of the law. For by works of the law shall no flesh be justified. There it is, right there. It's not of works, it's by faith. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you. I thank you, Lord, for those that are out this evening. And Lord, I pray you help me to be a blessing to them. Lord, just be with us again this evening. Help me, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this whole theme of the church and the doctrine of the church and the devil going against the church and what kind of church we should be, and in this same theme, we're going to go along and you're going to see the first century church, how they kind of went through different things, and they faced a lot of the same problems. The big problem today that we face is with salvation. Is it wholly by grace, or is it by grace plus works? When you boil all the religions down, Catholicism, the Mormons, whatever it is, when you boil it all down, it comes down to, are we saved by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, the finished work that Jesus did on the cross, or is it that plus something, or not that at all, or is it that plus tradition plus something else? That's what it boils down to. And here's the problem that happened. The Jews at the time had many laws. The Jews had dietary laws. A Jew couldn't eat pork in the law of Moses. Of course, now Christ came, and Peter already knew. Peter had the vision when he was in Joppa of the Lord to come down with all the animals and the sheep, and he said, "What I blessed the holy, to eat." In other words, everything's good long as you give thanks for it. And so it's not by what you eat, Peter, but it's by who you believe in that saves you. So now the Jews had a problem because they kept going back to their old way, their old religion, their old thought. And that's what's hard with people today. They get so entrenched in what grandma said or grandpa. Well, grandma always believed that. Or grandpa, you know what? They may be wrong. I mean, have you determined what they believe with the Bible? And so what we have here is we have contention even among prominent figures in the church. Prominent figures in the church. And this is what happened. And so, verse 10 says, "Only they would that we remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do." They gave them orders as they split them up. And Paul says, "Okay, I'll take care of the poor, no problem. I was going to do that anyhow." And then they added, "We're going to be happy to do that." And so Peter and them went their own way. Verse 11 and 12 say, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face." Problem. Why? Because he was to be blamed. Problem. "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, and then which were of the circumcision." Peter was with Paul in Antioch at the time. He was eating with the Gentiles, hanging out with the Gentiles, having a good time with the Gentiles, even though he was a Jew. He hears that people are coming, his Jew buddies, Jewish buddies that are coming, and they're going to have a problem with him hanging around with the Gentiles. And that's what he perceived, especially eating with the Gentiles, because, Peter himself said he's not eating any unclean thing in Joppa, when you remember when he was on the roof and fell asleep. So he was pretty strict to the dietary laws. Everybody knew that. But now he's hanging around with Paul, and he's really grasping on to the gospel of grace, salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and everything's fine, and, we're eating, pork chops with the Gentiles, and having all that, and baking the tomato sandwiches, and man, everything's fine. But all of a sudden he hears, they're coming from Jerusalem, and here I am sitting with the heathen, eating their food. And so it troubled him. It troubled him. Because after all, we don't want to be looked down upon. We don't want to be made fun of. We don't want nobody calling us some kind of religious nut because of what we believe. And so sometimes we tend to compromise our position. Because after all, they're good people. And so this is the problem. And they had a problem with him eating with the Gentiles. So he changes his behavior and he changes his attitude about the matter. Now remember, Jesus warned us about the religious. We talked about that this morning, the Pharisee, the Sadducee. The Pharisee was the religion of hypocrisy. They were hypocrites. The Sadducee had the wrong doctrine. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They believed when you died, that was it. The leaven of Herod, who was worldliness. So we have hypocrisy, which we have going on today. We have false doctrine, which we have going on today. And we have worldliness, which all attacks the way the church should be. And it all infiltrates into the churches today in an underlying way, because the devil wants that. And that's how he can attack the things. Well, now we see another problem coming in. And this is what happened with two prominent figures, Peter and Paul. Two big shots in the church at the time. These were the guys. And we see that there's contention because one of them kind of slipped back on the pure truth of the gospel and he didn't stick with it. And so this is where we're at. So Peter was with Paul in Antioch, was eating with the Gentiles. He hears that people were coming who might have a problem with him eating with the Gentiles. And so he changes his behavior and attitude about that. And, you know, I'm not beating up on Peter here. Let me just kind of jump in a little bit. We'll never accomplish what the Apostle Peter ever accomplished. A lot of people beat up on Peter. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to stand next to him at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. I mean, even though he denied Christ, he crucified himself upside down because he didn't think himself worthy to be crucified as a Savior. He gave his life for the cause. All of them did. Amen? And so we'll never accomplish what Peter accomplished. But it's interesting, and when you study the church, and as I've been studying the church and why we're the church that we are and just kind of explaining this as we start the new year, you wonder, why did God put such a thing in the Bible for us? Why would he put this in here, contention between two believers, two pillars that did so much? We just read about Peter this morning. He preached his first sermon, 3,000 got saved at Pentecost. 3,000. And how God used him. Paul, thousands Paul led to the Lord. Took a beating everywhere he went for the Lord. Gave everything up, gave his whole religion up to follow Christ. And he believed and was true to the Lord. And we have this in here. So why would God tell us in His Word that the most two prominent people of the first century had contention with each other? Because He's teaching us something. He wants to teach us something here. Verse 13 says, "And the other Jews dissembled likewise with Him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation, with their hypocrisy." His own buddy, his friend that he'd been traveling with, was a Jew, followed Peter and the rest of them. You see how important our testimony is. You see how splits and things occur in churches. People tend to gravitate towards one or the other without really seeing, is this God speaking? Is this the Word of God? Can we see what's going on with the Bible? Who's right here? Is this the truth of the Word of God, how we should handle this? Or are we just going to blindly follow someone because this is the big figure and this is the big figure? And so what they did is all the Jews kind of separated. So we have what? We have a clique. It's what it is. It's what happened. And a problem this has become. Barnabas working with Paul. Peter realized that people were coming. We're going to see him eating with the Gentiles. He decided that he would withdraw from them, even though he said it was right. Think about that. Hypocrisy. He caused such a problem that other believers withdrew. Barnabas even said, "I'm following Peter." Now here's where you got to give Paul all the due credit. He stood up for what was right. Amen. Well, Pastor, you shouldn't do that. You'll make so-and-so mad. Paul, you shouldn't, you know, Peter's a big guy. He's got a lot of influence with the Jews. I mean, leave him alone. Let it slide. No, I can't let it slide because we're polluting the gospel of Christ. You see, he took a stand. No doubt there's much going on between verses 13 and 14 in the heart and minds of these men. We have just a summary of the story here. As you think about this, you can imagine the contention was swirling in that assembly. Verse 14 says, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel." You see the key there? It wasn't because of eating. They weren't walking according to the truth of the gospel. Again, we talked about that this morning in Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. You don't go to heaven without the Lord. It's not the Lord plus this, that, or the other. It's Him and Him alone. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And see, that's where they were getting to, because people were going to get the idea, well, we shouldn't eat with these people, and we're better than them, and so our salvation is better. Listen, nobody's salvation is better than anybody else's. Nobody in the church is better than anybody else, from the pastor down to every... I mean, we have churches today that think because a board of deacons or something, they're it in the church, and they decide everything. That's not the case, friend. It's all wrong. Everybody's equal. People have different positions and people have different responsibilities, but it's all according to the truth of the gospel. And so Paul seen this. Paul said, we better put this out quickly. And look what he said. He said, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the matter of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? If you're going to do one thing, why are you doing something else? Why are you switching gears? Why are you changing? Why are you changing all of a sudden? Pastor, what are you getting rid of the King James Bible for and going to a New King James or an NIV? Why are you changing? Why are you changing the music that we had and the old hymns? Why are you doing that? Pastor, why are you kicking us out of the church pews and putting us in an auditorium and having a good old time? Why are we doing that? Why are we changing all these things? So Paul said, I confronted Peter to his face, and this is not according to the truth. Now these were both believers, prominent believers, I might add, highly visible men who were both blessed with marvelous ministries. Other people knew them, but there was contention between these two brethren. Some people today just think, well, I'm going to get along with everybody. And I'm not going to take a stand for what is right. And I've seen it in churches after churches. They follow a friend instead of following Jesus. And you look at any kind of church split or any kind of thing, if it's really not done on a doctrinal basis that somebody just, the preacher hit his head and left, you know, not preaching the gospel, changing some drastic thing that's not according to the gospel, people tend to, they gravitate towards their friends, and that's what this is all about. Amen. You don't gravitate towards anybody. Even at getting along. I know people, that's why I don't do a lot of business meetings. We're going to have a little chat after the service tonight about some things, but because they cause distension. And I've known people that were for something that wouldn't vote for something because my friend's against something. And what? Serious? How many have seen that in your life in churches? I mean, it's craziness. It's not the way it should be. And they had contention here. And you know, well, I'm just going to get along with everybody. And you know, that's okay. But Paul said, wait a minute. This could be a bigger problem. It's not according to the truth. Not according to the truth. Now, you know, we all want to get along with everybody. Don't get me wrong. I don't want everybody to be, you know. But we will be in one accord, as the first century church was, as we read about this morning in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. They were all one accord, remember? Why were they in one accord? Because they followed the apostles' doctrine, which is the doctrine of Christ, the teachings of the Bible. So when you're at a church where they're teaching the Bible, you pretty much are going to be in an accord. Amen. Right? And they were till this incident. We want to get along with everybody, but not by disregarding the truth. We must love God's approval more than the approval of men. Now, I say all that to say this. You're going to come into a circumstance outside the church where you may be with somebody and they say something that you know is just not right. You know it's not right. You know your Bible. You know it's not right. And to be comfortable, you just... Yeah, okay. You believe what you want to believe, I'll believe what I want to believe. Now, when it's concerning the gospel and the truth of God's Word, this is the problem. And I think today, in the last 50 years in the churches today, we've just seen a lot of tolerance of the world. And we let the tolerance, we're supposed to be tolerant of everybody. Doesn't it amaze you just a little bit that even as Christians today on a whole that I need to be tolerant of everybody and their lifestyle and whether it's good or bad, but boy, they're sure not tolerant of what I believe. Isn't that funny? I mean, we're to be tolerant and okay, it's okay. We can't pray in school. We can't do this and separation of this and that and the other and you know, kids can't pray at the football game, and all the ridiculous mess you see going on. And yeah, I guess we should just be tolerant of that and just kind of hide up in our churches with our, you know, little pea shooters and pop our heads up every once in a while and be tolerant of all that. But you know, when we come to take a stand and say, you know, salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, I'm sorry you believe what you do, but I believe in the Bible. We have a 400-year-old Bible here that led billions of people to Christ, the most popular book in the history of the world, the Bible, the King James Bible, you know, used to be. And we stand on what God's Word said. We're a Bible-believing people. The Bible's quoted all throughout our government's history. And our founding fathers definitely believed in the Bible. Now, all of a sudden, we're not to, you know, you're mad at me because I don't agree with you because it's contrary to what the Bible says. And I'm to be tolerant of that? Well, this is what's going on. This is the example we have here. Peter knew. Peter sat there and told everybody, hey, it's okay to eat anything, and we're having pork chops tonight. And then he flipped. Boom. Because he wanted to save face. You cannot flip to save face because you're a soldier of the cross. And you need to just stand. Now, you're not to be mean and an ugly old cuss, you know what I mean? But you need to love and contend to the faith with compassion and love. Jesus, we read this morning, what did Jesus tell him? What did he tell him? The most religious of his day, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the head of the whole Jewish religion. He used to call them hypocrites and liars. They weren't teaching the right doctrine, and they were hypocrites. Don't do as they do. Think about it. Beware. And then later on you read about when Jesus had the woe. You remember the woe chapter? Woe unto ye Pharisees, hypocrites, snakes, vipers. And today, boy, if we say anything about anybody's religion, woe is me. Woe is us. We can't do that. We got to all get along. And you know, as we read this morning in Matthew, Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 13. And he said that one day he's going to divide. The angels are going to come and gather up everyone. And those that are lost are going to get cast into hell. And he tells about a fire. Think about that. And so that's why we have to be stringent on what we do. Not ugly, but true to the Word of God. This is what Paul did. Paul took a stand. Peter kind of backslid a little bit, but Peter got right. He was total bad on this. And I can tell you this from my own experience. I try to follow Christ in the Bible as true as I can. And I try not to be too dogmatic, if you would, but I stay true and I just speak the truth. Wherever I go, if I do a funeral, I preach an invitation. I preach the gospel. I don't preach about the person, you know, unless I know that he made a profession of faith, you know. I don't assume that anyone's in heaven. I preach the gospel and the truth and give an invitation. I've seen many people raise their hands and get saved at funerals. Two today. They got baptized today, got saved at a funeral that I've done. And so we try to stay true to that. I've determined that the sole authority for our faith and practice is the Word of God. I said, Lord, if you give me a church, I'm just going to stay true to the Bible and do the best I can. I'm not the most articulate. I know I'm rough as a cob at times, but I'm going to stay true to the Word of God and give people the Word of God, and that's just the way it is. I'm not going to make no apologies for it. I'm not going to change because everybody else is changing. Not going to change because people are leaving and they don't like it and whatever it is. We're going to stay true to the Word of God, and that's what we need to do. Amen. You see, that's what the first century church did. But I'm telling you, when you do take a stand on that, you're going to have contention. And you may even have contention among your own brethren. It happened here. The only head of our church is Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, throughout the years, it cost me a lot with a lot of people to take the stand that I've taken. Believe you me. I was preaching against Catholicism, and only because I come from a Catholic background. If I was a Muslim, and got, I would be hot on that. I would learn. I had to learn that. And so I take a stand against. Not that I don't hate them. I love them. I mean, if no one tells people the truth, they're going to die and go to hell with a false hope of heaven. How bad is that? You know what it's like to me? I'll tell you how I look at the whole situation here on staying true to the gospel. If I knew that little Dave, I heard that somebody was putting poison in the pizza at little Dave's. And Larry, Mary Jo, and hey, come on, we're going to take a few people over to little Dave's and have pizza. But I knew somebody was putting poison in the pizza. Now, do I not have a responsibility to tell you? Don't do that? Or should I? Well, you know, Larry really likes pizza, and if I tell him, he may get mad at me and may not be my friend no more because him and little Dave are tight, and, you know, he goes there all the time, and you know what I'm saying? I better not do that. Now, it sounds funny in that circumstance, but you know what? We do the same thing with our religion and our beliefs. And it's a lot worse dying from somebody poisoning your pizza than dying and going to hell because I withhold the truth of God's gospel and grace and tell you, no, it's not salvation by Christ and works and this and that and the other thing. No, you're not going to purgatory when you die. No, there's not going to be a judgment and God's going to sort out everything. And if you've been better than this one, he's going to hell and you're not. It's not that way at all. What you do with Christ in this life is it. When you die, it's over. You go to heaven or hell. The Bible's clear on that. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for saints. Absent from the body is to be in hell as the rich man in Lazarus.
Amen.
And we just need to understand that, you know, sometimes you're going to take heat for it. And I personally believe, as everything's evolving, because the Bible tells us things are going to get worse, not better, that we're going to face more and more battles and we're going to really have to take a stand in what we believe. Now, we've nowhere near where the people in the first century church were. They were put to death for their beliefs. Paul was beheaded for his belief. All the apostles were terribly put to death. One was cut in half. Peter was crucified. John was boiled in oil, but it didn't kill him because God wanted him on an island to write Revelation. John the Beloved was the only one that died of natural causes. All the rest were, some were sawed asunder. Some were peeled, filleted by savages. Killed, butchered mercilessly. And you can read throughout history, you know, how through the calls of Christ, Christians were brutally attacked. Bible-believing Christians that weren't part of some organized religion. Happened right here in America in the early days. Baptists, if you want to know the truth about it, were persecuted unbelievably. The preacher Huff was preaching the gospel, salvation by grace, and they wanted to, the Church of England was still infiltrating in our founding fathers when they come here. Before the pilgrims in the 1600s, and he was preaching and they were beating his hands. And he was still telling them, it's not the way it is. You see, people paid a price to give us the doctrine that we have. And the terrible thing today is that we should not change for anything. You see, there's no painless way to follow Jesus Christ. And His approval is all that matters in your life. Not mine, not the deacon's, not Christ's approval.
Amen.
Matters in your life. So when you're talking to someone, remember this. I'm going to give an answer to Jesus because every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of. Remember that verse? Christians are going to give an account at the Bema Seat of Christ, the Day of Judgment. Paul writes and tells us that. We're not talking about the white throne judgment. That's where people are going to be judged for their sins and die and go to hell. They're going to be proven guilty and they're going to bow before the Savior and say, "You were right." But I don't want nobody pointing their fingers at us or our church and say, "Well, I sat in that church pew for 10 years and they never told me." I'm just telling you, there's no painless way to follow Christ. His approval is all that matters, and that's where you need to look. If you're going to vigilantly guard doctrine and truth, there's going to be times of contention, even among brothers. And one of the big things we're dealing with today is not an open denial of doctrine, but just denial of let's get along with everybody. That's what ecumenicalism really is all about. We get along with everybody no matter what it is. And, you know, we're going to do this, that, and the other to appease everybody.
And then we bring worldliness into the churches as a tool to try and get the world into the church. And the problem with all that is that people really don't see the love of Christ and God. They don't see a change. And I think it's better for people to feel the power of God and be convicted, even if they walk out, but they're hearing the truth. And that's what we have to stay true to. You know, Spirit-filled people are not boring people. We had just a wonderful service this morning. God showed up at that. It was a beautiful time. As two believers were obedient to Christ after a couple of years and being baptized and giving their life over and trying to get on the right track and follow Christ now. And I think God showed up here today. And you can feel that. Well, that's being Spirit-filled. That was a wonderful time. I don't think that's boring. And you know what? It's not make-believe neither. I don't have to trump up something or run around and do that crazy stuff, you know, neither, to think that you're something you're not. We just let it happen as God gives us grace for it. You know, think of the Savior. Think of the truth before you get all emotionally worked up about something and all that. See, a lot of it's just put on. Just put on. We need to think about what we're able to teach our children, pass on, our young people. I work with them and try to stay close to all of our young couples, 50 and under in the church, and stay close to them to teach their children, your grandchildren, as the adult class assembles. You see, because truth must be passed from generation to generation. If we cut it off and go rogue, where's the kids going to be? They're going to be confused because we were once this way, now we're this way. And I just, you know, it's not about how good a time you're having in the church service. Amen. It's about what truth is being taught that you know lines up with the Scriptures. And you can receive that truth and you can teach that truth to the next generation. You know, I always say you can't ice down the truth. You're either going to accept, you know, what you're hearing and as you study the Word of God, or, you know, you can't really put it on a shelf and come back to it when you feel good and ready to believe. A lot of people try that, and it doesn't work. I guess in closing this evening, what I'm really saying is, you know, the faith that's been handed down to us, the faith that's been contended throughout all the years, is a treasured heritage. It's not a contemporary experiment. We're not experimenting with trying to do something to grow something. I started this series of messages telling you that it's not us that grows the church. Remember that? God gives the increase. We do things to try to do that and reach out to others. We compel them to come and all that and visit and do what we're supposed to do. But, you know, at the end of it, we can save no one. We can just tell them the truth. As a matter of fact, we've probably led more people to Christ outside of this church that never darkened the doors of this church than we have inside the church. I know we have. We keep records of a lot of these things. There's a lot of people I've led to the Lord. There's a lot of people that I led to the Lord and been baptized, signed my Bible over the last 15 years. Almost 200 that come and left for whatever reason. I've not changed. The message has not changed. We try to stay true to the Word. Amen? And this is essential to understand because I believe so much in the faith that people gave their lives for. That's why we put all them pictures up back there. And people were burned at the stake to pass on the heritage that we have. People were threatened to be killed when they wrote the Bible. They burned them up as an example. And they wanted them to denounce Christ. That salvation was through the church and they wouldn't do it. And the Bible tells us they were fed to lions, they were sawed asunder. And we need to be true to the price that was paid. They paid a great price to be true to God. And I think we lost that today. I think we've become too wishy-washy, mamsy-pamsy type of Christianity. And we just kind of blow with the wind. And we should be willing to pay the price to be obedient to God in this manner. At the end of the story is Peter got right with God over it and seen the error of his ways, but thank goodness for Paul that he had the backbone to say, hey, look, we can't be doing this. Amen? And we shouldn't let things slide. Amen? And so that was a good thing. All righty, let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for time to be in your house this evening. I thank you, Lord, for the folks that are being here in the study in the church.